This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You and I, like you said, we go viral on all of our different takes right here when it comes to the draft. You on Jackson Dart, me on Shedeur Sanders. You know, I just wanted to say something. You know, I was one of those players, because I went back and I looked at a lot of stories that were written about me around my draft in 1984.
Yeah.
I got taken off of a few guys' teams' boards.
Sure.
And I think I've often told you the story that we had the combine down in New Orleans. And on a Friday night, the University of Maryland, we had our football dinner, if you will. And we were celebrating our year and everything. And the next morning, really early on Saturday, we had a flight to New Orleans. And we ended up spending about 8 hours at the combine going through all the medical. I wanted to throw at the combine, so I threw at the combine. Steve Young did not throw at the combine. I was coming off of a shoulder injury, and I separated my left throwing shoulder in the Sun Bowl, and Citrus Bowl. And then I wanted to still throw. I wanted to show the NFL that I was okay, that, you know, it wasn't anything major, and I was throwing it all over the Superdome. I mean, I was throwing it everywhere. And I had meetings down there, and I remember getting on an elevator, and I was so ticked off because me and my Maryland teammates hadn't eaten anything from, I want to say, when we got on the plane that morning, because they told us not to eat anything because of blood work and everything.
Yeah.
And then we had to go through all the workouts and everything.
Oof.
And then it was probably by that time, by 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were at the Hyatt across the street from the Superdome. And we get into an elevator, and it's got me and maybe 4 of my teammates with me from the University of Maryland and a whole bunch of other people on the elevator. And I'm going off about how the NFL is treating us. And I'm like, this sucks. This is supposed to be NFL. They need to be taken care of. Something along those lines. Complaining.
Sure.
Just being boomer, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that Dan Henning, the Atlanta Falcon head coach, was on the elevator, but I didn't know it at the time. And I found out later on that, you know, Dan Henning said, there's no way we want that guy on our team. That guy's going to be a pain in the ass. And I remember, you know, and I was sliding in the draft just kind of like Shedeur and other players who have slid in the draft, as Mel Kiper obviously
put it out there.
And, you know, it really is. It's when you have a meeting or something happens with a team as they're doing background checks on you or just checking up on you, talking to people in your life or whatever it may be, because they go into deep, more so now today than it did back then. But I remember the Bengals head scout, his name was Frank Smouse.
Went
out to East Islip to talk to my high school football coach.
Yeah.
And my high school football coach, much like he did for the University of Maryland, trying to convince Maryland to take me from East Islip, He told the stories about me playing for him in both football and baseball to Frank Smouse. And I went back and I looked at the scouting report that Frank Smouse had on me. And it was a lot of what Sal Ciampi said about me. And that's one of the reasons why the Bengals ended up drafting me. And because of my high school football coach.
Because Smouse went to your house.
Well, he went to the high school, didn't go to the house. But
but
you know what? He also went around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
He looked to see where I lived and, you know, where the town I grew up in, what kind of town was it, all of that stuff. And then finally ended up making it, you know, obviously with the 38th pick or 37th pick, whatever the hell it was.
A lot higher than 144, right?
It was, but still, yeah. Nonetheless, it's still a drop. And it is still, it's an embarrassing moment for somebody when you do drop in the draft, especially when you're expected, as Mel Kiper had me, as the number 3 player in the draft. And you keep dropping, and you're wondering, why are you dropping? Now, there are other reasons why, because the USFL was obviously still in play, and Steve Young had just signed a huge contract with the LA Express, Jim Kelly with the Houston Gamblers the year before. So that stuff was still around as well. But there was just a whole group of reasons why a guy would fall. And that happens every year to all different positions. And some guys don't even get drafted. Like, you remember when Tyreek Hill was coming out of college?
Yeah.
They had a first-round grade on him. Did he get drafted in the first round?
No.
No. But what he did, you know, in college was reprehensible, but somebody wanted to give him a second chance. And he made the most of the second chance. You could say whatever you want about him now, but he made the most of that second chance. And he got a huge contract from the Miami Dolphins. And I would just say that Shador Sanders, like any of us who have slid in the draft, you got to use that as fuel to the fire that is going to it's got to keep burning in your gut that you want this job in the worst way. And this is why I said this yesterday. He's going to go in there and he's going to have this attitude, and you know, somebody's going to take him under his wing. Maybe Myles Garrett takes him under his wing. I don't know. But then who takes Dylan Gabriel under their wing?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I still think there's a decent shot that if he goes in there and hadn't learned anything from this process, Shador, that he gets cut. I mean, they already, you know, they went and got Kenny Pickett. They obviously got Joe Flacco. Those guys are going to be on the roster. They draft Dylan Gabriel, so you're allowed to have the three quarterbacks dressed during the game. You can have a practice squad quarterback. And you're telling me with all the stuff that you know, Shador, who he thinks how good he is and where he should be, is going to accept a practice squad assignment, then they'll probably end up cutting him.
Well, I will say, you know, he is, by every measure, at the moment, he's a needle mover.
Oh, yeah.
He's a needle mover, and he's a needle mover when it comes to PR, and it comes to press, and it comes to clicks. Do you remember Dan Lanning, the head coach of the Oregon Ducks?
Yeah, they're all about clicks, and we're about football.
Yeah, remember, we're about wins.
Yeah,
they're
about the clicks. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that tells you all you need to know. This started way back when, 2 years ago, and it probably started at Jackson State, too. Who knows? But I just think that he now has had a come-to-Jesus moment. It's real. It hurts. It stings. And you got to hope that he can handle it mentally and figure it out. But again, I don't. It's just it's a weird team. It's always been a weird team with the quarterback situation. And this quarterback room is the nuttiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't know so Joe Flacco for sure is not going to be there for a very long time, but he's going to start.
He's 40 years old.
I would imagine he's going to start.
He should, but you know what's going to happen? I mean, the story is going to be Shador Sanders. That's all it is.
I mean, that's why I think there's a chance he could be cut, because if he's not doing anything in practice to separate himself, I mean, why would the Browns want to deal with that? I mean, he's going to have to go in there and impress the hell out of that team with his abilities. That's what he's going to have to do.
And he's going to have to go in there and he's going to have to show that he's a good teammate.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and if he's like, you know, Instagramming live and doing all these things other than worrying about football and playing football, then he's not going to be there for long. But I just think like Kevin Stefanski has just put himself and that team like right in the crosshairs.
Oh, they've been in the crosshairs for a long time.
This is going to be a media frenzy. It's going to be a media frenzy, and that's the needle mover part of all this. And that's great. I mean, that's what they want, and that's what they're looking forward to. It's going to be that.
Yeah, but he's also the fourth quarterback on the roster. So, like, when everybody shows up to camp, sure. But then what? Like, he's just taking reps like everybody else. It's not as if he's the start. I mean, maybe gets into a preseason game towards the end, but I mean, there's only so much you could say about the guy who's the fourth quarterback on the roster.
I know. This is why I like what Pittsburgh did with Will Howard. They'll end up with Aaron Rodgers, and Will Howard will be there, and he'll learn. This is why I like what the Giants did with Jackson Dart. They have Russell Wilson here. He's going to be the stabilizing force. And maybe Jackson, you know, has got to come in. He's got to learn how to call the snap count.
Yeah.
Call a play in the huddle from a professional standpoint. And obviously, Brian Daboll likes him. And if you listen to Todd McShay, you would think that he and Brian Daboll are sleeping together. You would. I mean, you could tell that they are like, they are tight.
Wow.
They are tight.
I mean,
You could hear it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he had all the Jackson Dart info early on. He talked about some of the things that Brian Daboll was thinking. And then after they have their draft, Todd McShay is, I mean, just extolling the virtues of Giants brass like you wouldn't believe.
So I'm with you. So there's information going towards Todd. And Todd's using that information like he should. That's his job.
Yeah.
That's what he's supposed to do. But I'm just telling you, they are buddies. They are tight. And all that information that he had. Now, there's two other things that happened during this draft. Obviously, the Jax Albrick prank phone call to Shador. Now, these prank phone calls happen every year, by the way. This is a high-profile prank phone call. And they did it. knowing that he would be on Instagram Live. They knew that he would be on social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, this generation of the social media meatheads are out there, and that's exactly what this was. And think about this for a second. Carson Shane. You know, he puts Jackson Dart out there on social media. Like, now all of a sudden, the executives and the coaches and probably some of the owners, Brick Johnson, who knows, are on social media putting their stuff out there and basically exposing what their dads are doing or what they're thinking.
Yep. More than a couple of them. Yeah, I mean, this is a new way to find out.
It's crazy.
What teams are thinking is just start following their kids on social media.
It is crazy. And,
yeah.
And, you know, the kids are, and I'm sure the dads are.
They don't love it.
I can't see how they could love it, but what do you do? I mean, it's pretty cool. Your dad's a coach or a GM in the NFL, and you have access to information. And you just can't help yourself because you're on social media.
Yeah, of course. And like if this happened in 1985, there'd be no record of it unless someone pulled out a camcorder, you know, and started
right.
filming it. Where here, you know, it could be filmed, it could be posted in a matter of seconds. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different world all around. And I'll tell you, Carson Shane now 2 years in a row. One, he was right about the quarterback, at least, in Jaden Daniels. Two, he was right about who they were going to draft because he knew how much he loved Jackson Dart. Puts out the highlight reel the day before the draft. Incredible.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.